Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in your bulletin and in the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. This is our text. Today's meditation from the book of Revelation is a war story, as you can see, between two armies that is first phantasmagoric, secondly it's paradoxical, and finally it's wonderful. And that's a cliche, wonderful. But when you think about it in terms of Isaiah, how Christ is called the wonderful counselor, then you know it's more than the cliche. This is a war story between an army of these versus those. Which side do you align yourself with? With the these or with the those? The setting suggests the word phantasmagoric, which in the dictionary, it's defined as a fantastic sequence of haphazardly associative imagery as seen in dreams. Now that is a picture of Revelation in many ways. It is not a literal reading. It is a phantasmagoric series of images rolled together. In the immediate verses, we find that the side called these is made up of a motley group of kings of the earth, of the harlot of Babylon, who it says is drunk with the blood of the saints. And it's also made up of a beast, and here's where the phantasmagoric comes in, a beast with seven heads and ten horns like a leopard, feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. So you can see, having this one verse that you have this morning beginning with, these will make war with the Lamb. There's a whole context here, a reading that picks up on that phantasmagoric, that kaleidoscope of beasts and strange creatures that are there to do war against God and his people. And that coalition is led by a dragon who, it says, gave power to the beast. And they worship the dragon, who is there also, Satan, who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Behold the army of these. And that leads to the paradox within our verse. These, our text begins, will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Paradox, of course, is a statement exhibiting inexplicable or contradictory elements within it. And there is certainly a contradictory picture when you see that. Sending out a lamb to do battle with that whole image of that army that we just saw? How in the world can such a thing be? The army of these looks at their champion, the beast, and they boast, back in the previous verses, who is able to make war with him? And so out into the battlefield steps the champion. So here's this beast. You can imagine if the sounds were there roaring. And the lamb steps out, bleeding. Ready to take on the enemy. And how will he take on and defeat the enemy? By giving his life, by shedding his blood. Now, what kind of a war, what kind of a battle is that? What kind of a champion? This is about as close as Scripture gets to what is called a fable, animal stories. But, of course, it is an allegory. And the lamb is really Jesus Christ. It's a picture of him. And while there may be many things in the book of Revelation that are very difficult to understand, and that is what keeps a lot of people from even going to it, anybody who knows the rest of Scripture knows that when you read the book of Revelation, the very same gospel truths come through loud and clear. There's nothing new, really. It's all about focusing upon Jesus Christ, the incarnate Lord, who in his resurrected state is Lord and God of the universe and in control of everything. And that's, of course, why we know that he was a lamb. He was called the Lamb. The very first thing that John the Baptist said was, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. By his act of obedience, keeping the law for us, but by his passive obedience, like a lamb, allowing himself." You know, this is a lion under the Lamb. This is the very God of the universe. And that's the striking thing about Revelation, how the images of Jesus switch back and forth to this lamb, to this lion. And this lamb that we see in the book of Revelation is not any mere lamb. He is the resurrected lamb. And that comes through clearly in the book in chapter 6, where you have kings and all the great of the earth fleeing and trying to hide, it says, from the wrath of the lamb. Think about that contradictory element. A lamb being angry is just counter to the very nature of what lambs are. And yet this is no mere lamb. This is Jesus Christ, who in his passive obedience is allowing himself to suffer and to die for us. And in chapter 7, we see a great multitude crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And there's that Lamb, that victorious Lamb who is in fact God. This war story is, of course, not just phantasmagoric, it's not just paradoxical, it is marvelous in the best sense of that word, because the quality of the Lamb's victory is in fact profound. Jesus Christ coming and dying for us, taking on human flesh for us. He was the lamb led to the slaughter before the beasts of the universe, which in fact represent churches who reject Jesus Christ. They're some of the worst enemies today. And the pagans of the world, they're all up against Christ. And yet, in putting him to the cross and in trying to put us and martyrs to death, they accomplished nothing, because the victory has been won. That's what's wonderful about that. What's wonderful beyond what Christ did is that the Holy Spirit has called all of us, working through word and sacrament, instilling faith in our hearts, so that if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you are on the winning side with the redeemed who stand with Christ, with our text, what it calls those. So it began with these, but then it says, those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Which side are you on? With the these or with the those? Fact is that our old Adam is on the these's side. But God has called us to faith, and every single day we put to death that monster within each of us. And we realize that by Christ's death, by his resurrection, by his keeping the law for us, he has redeemed us, he has justified us. We are redeemed. Nothing can take away from us the salvation that is ours. And if we could go on, we could talk about all those passages and that refer to us as rulers along with Christ. It refers to us as kings, and that's why we're standing alongside of Christ here. And that's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe that's a double barrel kind of an expression, but it definitely refers to us who are kings, who it says will judge the world. This is the first week of Advent, a liturgical season of penitence and preparation for the coming celebration of the Incarnation, the celebration about Jesus' birth. And the phrase, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, really echoes the phrase later on in verse 16 of the 19th chapter of Revelation, where we see there, it's not reverse, it's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which shows up in that marvelous Handel's Messiah. As we approach the joyous festival, then, of Christ's birth, let us truly give thanks, and above all, renew our faith in Christ. He calls us faithful, and it is this time of the year that we need to renew ourselves, to remind ourselves which side we are on, and to remind ourselves also of the wonderful blessings that God has given us in Christ. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, all given to us through the gospel. Amen. Page 168, let us pray the morning prayer. Page 168, the Monday morning prayer. At the evening of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of my labor, to your glory and my salvation.